You did me. There we go. Right, now I'm on. So, good morning, everyone. I wonder if we start by thinking about how confident we are in sharing the gospel. So I'd like you to pop your hand up now if you are the type of person that loves to share the good news over buying your petrol at the petrol station, or you're out for a meal and they bring you the bill and at that moment they say, "Ah, but there is a greater cost." And then they go into it. Hands up. No. So you're very much straight away, like me, a little bit timid, a little bit, because we don't like, do we? Well, I don't, to stand out. Okay, despite being up here, I know that I feel vulnerable, and lots of people will tell you that whenever they're up here, because we're expressing our opinion, and you may disagree, and then you might shout at me, and then I will cry, so don't do that. Okay, we really like to fit in, don't we? There is a pressure to fit in that starts right at the beginning. When you're born, there's no pressure to fit in. You're just like, oh, that baby, little baby, she's like, oh, I'm fine, no pressures. But it comes, doesn't it? And you start school, and there's a bit more pressure, and there's a bit more pressure, and we don't like to stand out. We don't give our opinion. We like to dress the same. We must wear the same clothes as our friends. We must have those white trousers because everyone's wearing those white trousers. And then next week, everyone's wearing black trousers. Let's wear black trousers because we don't want to stand out. Now, there's been great little psychological things done on this, hasn't there? Like that famous one with the piece of string, and they ask people, how long's the piece of string? And they all write down what they think, and then they put them in a group, and they discuss it. But the secret is, in the group, there is only one genuine person. All the rest are actors, and they all come up with an idea, an answer to how long the piece of string is that is wildly off, insanely off. And yet, when they redo, the person who is not part of the actors puts the same amount down as everyone else. And we see that, don't we? Who's watching the traitors? Yeah, there's a few hands going up. The round table. They know it's not that person, but everyone's putting that person. Let's write down Jonathan's name. Yes, write down Jonathan's name. That's what we want. Anyway, if you're watching, you'll know. It takes so much to stand out from the crowd. The people that we know who stood out from the crowd, like Nelson Mandela, we might say, or I don't know how to say her name, Malala Yousafzai, who, is that right? Good enough. Anyway, if you know, from Pakistan, who stood up for women being educated, got a Nobel Prize. Galileo, we know he went through the Inquisition, didn't we? How dare you say that the earth goes around the sun? The people that stand up, they stand out, and it is seriously bad, isn't it? And that's the little bit in all of us that's like, I don't want to stand out. Do you want to stand out? No, because if you put your head up, chances are you're going to lose your head. Now, in here, in the Bible, we have many accounts of people who stood out from the crowd, Jesus being one of them, but his followers, of course, his early disciples who stood up afterwards for that testimony that a Jewish peasant from Galilee was indeed the Messiah, the King. They lost their lives. They lost their lives. And Paul writes from prison here. He's not committed a violent crime. He has not been corrupt. He's not been involved in fraud. No. He, along with the others, stands up for that testimony that Jesus is King. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And that did not go down well. And it can sound quite alien to us in the UK because we have a certain amount of religious freedom. And if you're considered religious, you're considered probably quite irrelevant, perhaps deluded in some way. It gives you a little bit of comfort. Let me pat you on the head. But they don't actually think that what you have is relevant or has any meaning to them. But for many believers around the world, of course, we know that believing and stating, I believe in Jesus, I am a follower of Jesus, is going to cost you your life. And so this sort of letter is very relevant to them, isn't it? This is like Paul is speaking to them right now, as much as he was to Timothy. And for us, we may not be in that situation, but we certainly know what it is to be timid and withdraw and not give our opinion or not put our head above the water or not state what we think. We might do that because we think we're not brave or we're not clever enough because they have arguments we don't understand or we can't think we can combat. We might excuse ourselves by saying, well, I just want to live a simple life and I'll just show it by what I do. But this letter can teach us how to be bolder, to make the most of the freedom that we have. It affirms that we should never be afraid or ashamed to say what we believe about Jesus. The words of Jesus are clear. If you disown me, I will disown you before my Father. So we're going to look at the text now and find out how we can be bolder. Because no one put their hand up in the room, so we all need to be indeed bolder. So let's start. Verse 6, he says, for this reason. That's where we're going to start. Now, going back to Timothy, we know it's poignant. It's the last letter he writes to his dear son, his spiritual son. And he writes about how, verse 5, he longs, just even thinking about Timothy has encouraged him, but he longs to see him as well, because he knows that when he does, he's going to be filled with joy. And I wonder if you've got people in your life that are like that, other Christians that fill you with joy and encouragement, that keep you going, that reaffirm the confidence in the gospel when they tell you, this is what God's been doing in my life, what's he been doing in your life, or this happened to me the other day, what happened to you? Have you got those people in your life? I've picked up a few over the years. Some are local, some are on the other side of the world. But I know that when I speak to them on the phone or when I see them, I am encouraged. I'm strengthened in my faith. And that's the kind of relationship that they have. Yeah? He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, so I remind you, fan into flame. And when he talks about fan into flame, imagine like maybe you know what it is to have a fire pit or a fire, and there's always somebody, isn't there? There's always that person, and they want to waft it, and the smoke goes everywhere. And that's not nice. But we do need to fan into flame if the embers are dying. If you put some new wood on it, it won't burst into flame unless you give it a little. It needs oxygen, or the embers, if it's burnt right down, are going to go out. They're going to go out, yeah? Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? Same thing. If the fire goes out, how can it be made fire again? And this word fan, okay, the little Greek word will come up. I'm not going to even try and say it, is one of one place in the New Testament where it's used. It's not used anywhere else. And Paul, he loves the old unique words, doesn't he? He loves that. And it means to rekindle or stir up a living fire. And he probably got this from the Greek version of the Old Testament, where it was used in the context of the temple to keep the embers and the fires burning. Remember, that was displaying the presence of God. And that fits really well here with fan into flame, if we think of it in terms of the presence of God. What should he fan? It says that he should fan the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now, if you remember in Acts, we've got that great picture in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit comes, flame on the head, symbolizing what? The presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has come. So we get that. After that, disciples come to know Jesus, and sometimes they receive the Holy Spirit, not always, but sometimes through the laying on of hands, for example, Paul, or in Acts, where they find those believers that are following Jesus, and they said, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit, so they laid hands on them. So, I don't think laying on hands is a magical formula, by the way. I just think it's one way. Of course, Paul here, he could be referring to the gift being the Holy Spirit, or it could be a specific gift, like a gift of teaching or pastoring or other things. But remember, those gifts come from the Spirit. Okay. Now, so he says, effectively, don't let your faith, powered by the Spirit, sit dormant in your life. Don't let your faith, powered by the Spirit, sit dormant in your life. He's saying, don't just tick along, not using your gifts, not asking for more of the Spirit, not telling people. Don't let that happen. Fan into flame. Okay? In another part of the New Testament, Jesus talks about the Spirit, and he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you who are evil know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus encouraging us to ask for the Spirit. Elsewhere, Paul says to the Ephesian church, be filled with the Spirit. And if you know anything about that, it's like continuously be filled, carry on being filled. Now, I love Strong's help words of this word filled. Okay, so just imagine for a minute what you mean by filled. Okay, you might have a picture in your mind, like a glass full of water. Yeah, you've got something like that. Or you might have your own thing. Okay. But one possible translation is to cram, okay? Now, for me, I love that idea of it being crammed in, you know, like really pushed in. This is not just like, oh, top yourself up with the Spirit every now and then, like, oh, you've got a bit low. It's got this idea of Jesus wants us to be crammed with the Spirit. Okay, and that's where you might get this idea of overflowing. You can't really overflow unless it's sort of crammed in. I love that. That's just on a side note. And that kind of continuously being crammed, and that is a continuous, fits nicely with that being filled. Okay, so how do we fan the flame? We know that we need to fan the flame. We want that to happen. But you might be asking, well, how do I do that, Louise? How do I be filled with the Spirit? How do I get this cramming going on? Number one, ask God. Ask for the Spirit. Continually ask to be crammed. Ask for a fresh anointing. Start the day with, Holy Spirit, come, fill me, empower me, help me. Secondly, use your giftings. If the Spirit's given you a gift, use it. Remember the whole use it or lose it? If you've been given something, use it, people. Okay? If you've got a gift of encouraging, encourage people. If you've got a gift of teaching, teach people. Don't just let your fire of faith just simmer. Don't let it go out. Use it. Do something with it. Thirdly, do your faith with others. And I've already talked about that. Like Paul did with Timothy and others. You, who have you got in your life? Who are your Pauls and your Timothys encouraging you, praying for more of the Holy Spirit in life, asking you, how is it going? And if you don't have that at the moment, be asking, well, who could I ask? Ask God, who should I ask? It doesn't take some kind of endless training program to be able to do this. It takes nothing to be able to say to your friend, let's have a coffee. How are things going? What have you been reading in the Bible recently? What's God been saying to you? That's not rocket science, is it? Saying, what have you been reading and what do you think God's doing? Or how is your faith today? How can I pray for you? Can I pray for more of the Spirit for you? Or even if you can't meet them, we could phone them. Go wild. I know we don't like to phone these days, but we could text. Hello, how are you this morning? How is your faith? What did you read this morning? How is it going? How is your job going? Have you had a chance to talk to that person? It's not rocket science, but we often don't let it, and our little fire is just slowly going out. Okay, why should we fan the flame? Why should we do these things? Well, apart from the Holy Spirit being our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our Lord, Paul says, for the Spirit God gave you, that free gift from Jesus, through Jesus from the Father, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul's contrasting two things, timidity and shame, with power, love, and self-discipline. Now, which camp are you sitting in? He's contrasting these. Firstly, the Spirit brings power to live the way of love. To forgive enemies is not easy. We might say it's almost impossible. Who forgave their enemies? Jesus on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And as Christians, we struggle, but where does that come from? It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. To love mercy, to love the vulnerable and the outcast, where does that come from? Does it come from us? Did we miraculously come up with it that morning? I shall do this today. It comes from the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit to move us, to will us. What was it like before the cross? A cold, hard heart. If you came to the prayer room, you'll have held that rock of the heart. And what did it need? The Holy Spirit to soften it. It was only after the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit that they were enabled to do what God had called them to do, that they wanted to do what God had called them to. So we need the power. Any change that you've experienced in your life was not you. You look at someone else, you think, they're a very nice Christian. I'm a rubbish Christian. They're a nice Christian. I'm a rubbish Christian. Oh, really? They're a nice Christian. Do you think they just did that on their own? Because they didn't. They only did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus is a bit like a three-legged race. You're going together. If you try and do it on your own, you are down. We need the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Spirit brings love, power and love. We need love. His love is poured into our hearts. The Spirit comes because God is love. Love enters into our heart. We don't need to ever be ashamed of who we are. We are loved. The Spirit testifies that we are children of God. The Spirit comes and gives us hope and certainty of what is to come, of transformation. So much of our lives is spent trying to get other people's approval, to get them to like us and approve of us or love us. The gospel is not like that. We are loved. Before we even take a step, before we say a word, before we try to prove that we are a very holy Christian and a very nice person, we are loved. The Spirit brings power. The Spirit brings love, unconditional love. And finally, self-discipline, another word I cannot say in Greek. But it means, again, it's a unique word. Paul loves his unique words, doesn't he? It means sound, reasoned, clear mind. It can mean an inner posture to resist panic. How much do I need that to resist panic? They're going to be mean to me and they're going to tell me I'm wrong. It means to return to the mind and turn your mind to the truth. Rather than, it says as well, being swayed by this and that, the Spirit teaches us and reminds us of truth. The Spirit enables us to hold on to the truth. It always says, with the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, in the Spirit. These three together, power, love, and self-discipline, bring that confidence with compassion, with love, and a clear mind that cannot be swayed. The Holy Spirit is therefore the antidote of fear and shame. And all the oppositions we may face, even to death. And the Holy Spirit is the only thing that will hold us when we face that kind of extreme. So verse 9, Paul bursts now into this worship. Look at verse 9. He says he has saved us. He has called us to a holy life. That means he initiated it. Remember, before we did anything, he loved us. He initiated, not us. Not because we'd done anything at all. And I think Paul's doing that at the beginning when he writes, now I've got to think about this because I've not got it in front of me, but he says, in keeping with Christ Jesus. What's it say? In keeping with the something. Oh, I should know this by heart, shouldn't I? In keeping with the grace. Thank you. Promise of life, thank you. In keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Well, what is in Christ Jesus? Grace. Why has he been called? He says, I've been called in keeping with the promise of life. In keeping, because I wouldn't have been called for anything that I have done. He is only called in keeping with the promise of Christ Jesus. And that is amazing, isn't it? Right, where were we? 8. Before... It says, but because of his own purpose, that's his plans, and grace, that's his character. Why? Because of this, his grace and his character, his purpose. This grace, this undeserved favor, was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. It's no surprise to him. Anything that happens or anything we've done or anything we will do is no surprise to him. It was no surprise before the beginning of time, before he even spoke that first word, let there be light, he knew. And that's an amazing thing. And I think it's one of the good things about Paul. He just has this amazing big picture view. And often we're so on our little picture that we miss that. And he's so good at it. That's another kind of side note. Okay, 11. I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's what his gifts are. That's what he was appointed to do. Remember, not because he's good at it. In somewhere else he says, you know, I'm not even very good at this. God's appointed him. He says, that is why I'm suffering as I am. There's no cause for shame. I know he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Now, this word, entrusted, is quite interesting. Jesus has entrusted us and all his followers with a message of love. And we hold that entrusted message by the Holy Spirit. What's the time? I need to be quiet. Okay. In the first letter to Timothy, he says, guard what's been entrusted. Turn away from godless chatter, or we might say astrology and myths. Turn away. In verse 13, he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And every generation, including ours, has been given a deposit. Okay? How many Bible studies have you sat through? How many church services have you been in? How much teaching have you received? How many close prayer partners have you had? And if that is the case, who have you passed that on to? Because you have been entrusted with the truth. And you are to guard it. And you are to hand it on. John 15, Jesus says, I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit. And not just fruit, much fruit. It's no accident that you were born now and you're in your workplace where you work and you live where you live. That's no accident. Before the beginning of time, God knew. So what have you received? What has been entrusted to you? What has been given to you? How are the embers of your faith today? Is your faith growing? Are you fanning it regularly? Or is it almost out? Scary, isn't it? We can refuse and shrink back. And Peter did that. He knows all about this. Okay? Peter knew. When he said to the people he wrote to, he says, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that's come to test you, blah, 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 blah. Rejoice as you participate in suffering so that you may overjoy when the glory reveals. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. The Spirit of God rests on you. Peter knew what it was to shrink back. But if you read the book of Peter, he's writing to people who are suffering for their faith, and he is saying, come on, guys. And what happened to Peter? He was crucified. So he might have shrunk back once, but when the Holy Spirit came, he was a different man. So we're going to end, because otherwise I'll go on and on. So I want you to think, in this season, in this time, in this place, what has God entrusted to you? Thinking of what you've received, teaching, giftings, passions. Are you communicating what you know of Jesus' love to the world in word and deed? And you're failing. I know you are. So am I. But Hebrews says, let us encourage one another, forgetting what is behind and pressing on. So we're not sitting in guilt today. Let's just say, today, Jesus, I want to fan the flame. Okay? Are you asking the Spirit? Are you sharing what's been entrusted? Are you seeking to help others grow in faith? Paul said to Timothy he'd been entrusted with sound teaching that he was to pass on. And that had come from Paul, but it also come from Nanny, a mum. Maybe you've got kids, maybe you haven't. Are you passing it on? And again, not guilt, because we all fail and we all do a rubbish job and we're not perfect. And I know I mess up every week when my actions don't match the gospel. But forgetting what's happened, press on. Holy Spirit, I need you because I can't do this without you. So I'm going to invite us to stand and I'm going to invite the band to come up. If you're able to stand, you can. The band are going to come up. And this might be a bit weird for you, but that's okay. We'll just go with it. I want you to pray for the person in front of you to receive the Holy Spirit, that it be crammed into them. And we're going to do that for a few minutes. And how's at the front? We're going to pray for those right at the back because there's no one in front of them, okay? All right? So we're all right, but they're not. Pray for the people in front of you to receive the Spirit. And I'll pray for the people. We'll pray for the people at the back. And then when we've done for a few minutes, we're just going to put our hands out and say, Holy Spirit, come. Okay? Then we're going to sing our song. It's not weird. You don't have to say anything out loud. You'll be fine. So let's just quiet for a few minutes and pray for people in front of you to receive the Holy Spirit again.